Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages and each generation, it's time to gear up for another game-changing episode of the Blue Collar BS podcast. Today, we've got a guest not just part of the construction world. She is redefining it. So, Mr. Doyle, are you ready for this episode?
You bet your ass, man. I have been so ready for this show. This is the kind of episode that has you clearing your calendar. Listen up, folks. If you're in the trades, if you're in any business, or you're just trying to make sense of the workplace today, you do not want to miss this. Who are we talking about, Brad?
We are talking about no one other than the pink hat, Stephanie Couch. She's a trailblazer, a disruptor, and one hell of a story. Stephanie grew up in a family lumber business, but she didn't stop there. She took her know-how, her grit, and her hustle and built a brand that's changing how the construction world sees itself. From leading divisions of Fortune 500 companies to launching her own powerhouse ventures, Stephanie is all about action and, more importantly, results.
That's right. She's not here to play small. She's here to talk about branding, about building, and bridging that generational gap so many industries are struggling with right now. But this isn't just another quote-unquote expert interview. Stephanie's bringing real talk and what it means to own your story, to defy those expectations, and to lead in an industry that's overdue for a shakeup.
Whether you're a business owner, employee, or someone trying to figure out how to thrive in today's workplace chaos, Stephanie's insights will hit home in some way, shape, or form. So buckle up, because this episode is going to challenge the way you think about the trades and maybe even the way you think about yourself.
Absolutely, Brad. So, you know, all of you, grab your headphones, hit that play button, and join us for a conversation that'll leave you fired up and ready to take on whatever comes next. This is the Blue Collar BS Podcast, and today, Stephanie Couch is in the house! Welcome back to Blue Collar BS, Brad. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic, Mr. Stephen Doyle. How is Detroit City today?
You know, Detroit City, it is rocking, it's rolling, we're in. Couple weeks into January already, we're looking at the playoffs with the Lions at the number one seed.
Stop.
I mean,
I'm aware. I
know you're aware.
I'm waiting for the big disappointment. That's what I'm.
Oh, come on! You're a lifelong fan. I'm not necessarily a lifelong fan, but
yeah,
you can't help but get involved in.
Have you been disappointed your entire life, Steve? Probably.
Well, I haven't been a Lions fan my entire life, so no.
Exactly. So there you go. So we got that happening.
So, Brad, who do we have on the show today?
On our show today, we have the amazing Stephanie Couch, born into a family lumber business. When I met her, she's telling me her origin story, what's all going on. I'm like, wow, she is the real deal in the construction world. She led a startup division of a Fortune 500 company, 10 years regional sales. She's the founder of Build Windman and the Grit Blueprint, specializing in branding and marketing. And I was so happy that she showed up today with her hat, which is part of her brand, because it's so cool to see and it stands out and it's there. And Stephanie, we are happy to have you here on our show to share your knowledge and wisdom of branding and construction and the industry and our pre-show conversation over the Gen Z versus millennials. This is going to be a great show. Super excited.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Excellent.
She says now.
So that's what she says now. And before I forget, because I'm kind of excited to get into this conversation, which generation do you best fit in with or identify with?
I am a proud millennial.
Ooh.
Proud. I like that.
Proud. Wow. Yeah.
Gotta own it, right? I mean, I own that I'm a woman in construction and a millennial and a blonde. I mean, I'm a triple threat.
Wow. I love it. I love it.
That is awesome. I appreciate the owning it part of it. So
yeah.
As a proud millennial and being in the construction industry for as long as you have been and grew up with it, what have you seen of your generation change to become the generation of choice for the industry, so to speak?
It is interesting. When I first started at my corporate job, I was 25, and I was pretty much the youngest person in my division, in my office. It was an Atlanta division of a really large company with around 6,000 employees. And I was the youngest one. And so I really liked that I was the youngest one because everyone else was old. And now I'm no longer that ever. So that's definitely changed. I'm always the older, wiser lady now. And so that was how it started. And it was kind of a laughing thing, like, oh, millennials, you know, they don't work, they don't do whatever. And I never really got categorized as that because I would come in at like 6 a.m. when we were supposed to start at 8, and I would go home and take work and work until like 11 or 12 o'clock, some nights entering orders. And so I very quickly positioned myself as someone who wasn't a standard millennial. And right. I actually got told that a lot. Like, you're not like the rest of them. They can't, you know, you're a unicorn. That's what they would call me.
They call you, you know, that's a Gen Xer. Is really what that is.
Exactly. That's what they meant by that. You know, is like, hey, you're really, I know you're 1987, but you're really not. You're really like 1980. And so I kind of prided myself a little bit like, oh, they like that I'm, you know, a hard worker. They're giving me that. But then as time has gone on, obviously now there's a lot of studies out that millennials are the chosen ones. And they really, you know, most employers want to hire millennials. And Gen Z kind of has that bad rap now that I had when I started in 2012 at corporate. So pass it along. And, you know, I have several Gen Z leaders on my team, and I love them, but they are the really hardworking. They have a touch of Gen X in them as well. So yeah. I hire for that. I call it competitive greatness, really, is what I think it is.
Oh, I like that.
And like so that. How did you coin that competitive greatness piece to it?
Well, truthfully, I actually stole that from someone else, so I can't take credit from that. It's a core values of a company that I really like. I've always considered myself extremely competitive, and I'm a Gallup Clifton Strengths coach, and that's one of my top 10 strengths is competitiveness.
So, where's your woo? Where's your woo on the scale?
Woo's number 5 for me.
All right.
28. Woo, 28 right here.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Woo's the one that everybody always knows where it is. It's either at the very bottom or the very top, but... If you have a Woo top 5, you know it. People know it 100%.
Yes, they
you know?
Do.
Like, yeah.
And people that have Woo are like, woo, like Ric Flair, you know, it's very obvious.
Yeah. Give me a little bit of that nature boy. Let's go.
Oh, he's a Georgia Bulldog fan just like me. So I like that.
That's awesome. So that means you probably weren't watching last night's game or tonight's game, most likely.
I wasn't. I was working last night. I don't have time to watch non-Georgia football games. I probably will watch tonight, though, seriously, because I want to see what happens.
So are you then rooting for Ohio State or Texas, being a Georgia fan?
I'm gonna be a Hook'em Horns girl tonight.
Yeah.
Mainly because I lived in Texas for 2 years, so before Texas went in the SEC, I had no reason to dislike them.
Now you do. Now
I do, but still don't like Ohio State more.
Okay.
Perfect.
But back to the competitive greatness. Right. I basically went to that word because I have a real strong need to always continue to rise my standards. And a lot of people have told me, like, your standards are too high. And I don't believe that's a thing. I don't think that you can have standards that are too high. And I think the only person that would ever tell you that is someone whose standards themselves, they don't want to continue to push themselves. So my standards are going to be high. And if anyone is going to work on the team with me, I want them to have that same push to just continue to be better. But also knowing that, like, you are going to screw some stuff up. And I do basically every single day, pretty much every time I do something new, it's like,
right,
God, I'm such an idiot, you know, but you're not, you just don't know what you don't know. And so right. I think that I had that in corporate. My dad instilled that in me at the lumberyard, and I've continued that sense of urgency and competitive greatness in my own business.
I appreciate the fact that you used the word give the chance to fail, right? That we're going to fail along the way, because there's so much expectation of perfection.
Yeah.
And it's construction and it's skilled trait. And there is no such thing as a perfect construction job. There is no...
Yeah.
All we can do is minimize the opportunities for failure, but there is no perfection.
Absolutely. And the harder, I have always loved the custom stuff. So I'm really more from the building materials side of the world, you know, sold lumber, sold doors. Mm-hmm. And doors and windows millwork, they're technical, right? They're hard to begin with. And then there are segments of that are super custom. And I always liked the super custom stuff because it was harder, so most people wouldn't do it. They were scared of it. And then also you can make a ridiculous amount of money on it because it's harder. So nobody's going to do it. So you have no competition. And that's what I've always loved to live in. And so I do that now with my, I haven't, you know, kind of a growth agency for people in the construction industry. And that's what I like, the hard cases. Like, give me the stuff that no one else can solve. And let's go do it and make a shitload of money doing it.
That's right.
Yes. Show me the money. Perfect.
I don't know if you can cuss on the show, but I just
we are explicit. It is perfectly okay.
We are explicit.
You can use whatever words you'd like.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yep. So looking at, you know, the concept of that growth mindset that you have and the, hey, we are going to make mistakes. From a generational perspective, how have you kind of instilled that in the different generations that you've had come in under your wing?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I actually feel like that's one of the biggest problems that I see with Gen Z, is they are really a lot of times very scared to make mistakes because they are so used to being risk adverse in a lot of ways.
Right.
And I don't know what has, I'm not sure if it's the comparisonism that comes from social media and everything's lived out loud. So like now if you fall, everyone sees it because you probably fell on someone's camera, you know, there's no like just behind the scenes, really. We filmed the behind the scenes. Like, that's probably the most interesting part, right? So it's, and I tell people that in branding, like, film the stuff that you're doing that seems boring because people love that stuff. So I think it's really, there's three things in business that I think make the most excellent team members, business owners, whatever you're doing. And the number one thing is curiosity. So it's, if you don't know, you want to know. And you want to know why, you want to know how, you want to know what if we did this little thing different. So it's just generally curiosity. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is resilience, right? So it's knowing that you are going to screw up. When you start asking questions when you're curious, then you're going to screw up. So then you're going to need that resilience to be told no or to be failing and continue to go. And the third thing that I think is really important is owning who you are. And doing it the way that you can do it. So that goes back to that strengths thing, right? Is knowing that if you are not a strategic thinker person, you're an influencing person, that you're not going to need to do the spreadsheet thing like everybody else is doing it. Do it your way. Use that woo you got. Use that other thing that's different that makes you who you are. And so, like I said before, if I'm a blonde wearing a pink hat in the construction industry, I might as well just lean all the way in and own that bad boy, because that is me, right? And so I'm going to do that, because if I try to wear a polo shirt and be a spreadsheet person, I'm going to be miserable and everybody else is going to know eventually that I'm a fraud. And I'm just not going to be my peak potential. So it's allowing people in any generation. And I see especially people that are in a job that have been in it for a long time. They own that because they're so good at it. So there's not much risk. If you've been doing something for 20 years exactly the same way, like, I mean, it's literally back of the hand stuff, right?
Correct.
Yep.
And then if you go to something new from that, I actually have seen Gen X and boomers struggle just as much as Gen Z and millennials with these new tasks, because I actually think it's harder for them because it's more of a transition.
I was just going to ask you that question, is how are you when you're working with your clients and you have some older owners, or you have that Gen X guy that's been doing the window and door ordering for 25 years the same way, and you're trying to bring technology and advancement and branding and all those things into it.
Yeah.
How are you helping them through that change management aspect? What are some of the techniques you use?
Well, one of the things that I like to do is I like to solve the problem that they think they have, because that usually is something that both of us can agree on. So let's just take this can be, you know, any kind of business owner, construction, a builder. It can be someone in the trades, like a home service person or a lumberyard owner. Let's say they have a horrible website. Everyone can kind of agree that aesthetically and conversion wise and all that, probably updating and making the website look good and convert better would be a good idea. So maybe that's the problem that they have and they know they have. But really, they have no go-to-market strategy. They don't really know who their best customer is. They don't know what products or services they're selling the most of that make the best margins. They don't have any of that figured out, but they think they have it figured out. So if you go in and say, hey guys, you really don't have a go-to-market strategy. And I would say most businesses truly don't, or either their go-to-market strategy is sell everyone everything for as much as we can. And that's not a good.
Yes, go with that. Go with that one.
Go with that one. Yeah.
See, that's it. That's where they check all the boxes. It's like, there's not, it's like, let's just check every single one. But that's one of the examples. So we fix the website first. And then through that, you gain the trust of them, and not in a manipulative way. You truly are helping them. But then they know that you're not just a charlatan marketing person, because no one in the construction industry trusts marketing people, as they probably shouldn't in most cases. And so says
the blonde girl in the pink hat.
You shouldn't trust anyone, but I'm here.
But at the end of the day, I'm a lumber girl at heart, more than I'm a marketing girl. Yeah, and correct. So I know those problems. That's right. And so I think that's it. Solve the problem that they think they have, and then help them understand that the other problems are worth solving. And that's really how you do it. You don't come in and act like, you know more than them, because you don't. And I think that's the thing, is you know what you know and they know what they know. And somewhere in the middle, we meet to make the best legacy businesses that we can. And a lot of my clients, they are big. They are 50 million, 150 million. I have a client that's like 6 billion a year. And man, they know a lot about a lot. Like, they don't get to 6 billion without being a damn good competitor in the market.
Yep.
But it doesn't mean they can't get better. And it's the same reason why Elon Musk spends 1 week a year on every problem he can. So he goes to his factories in person one time a year. He solves 52 big problems a year. He goes himself into those places and he solves those problems with the engineers, with the team on the ground in the weeds, and he solves big problems, because it doesn't matter how big you are, you can always be better.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take moving heaven and earth to solve the problem. Most problems can be solved simply. My wife was showing me, they had a conference, she's in healthcare. They showed this video on this piece where the elevator stops. I don't know if you've seen this video where the elevator stops. There's two people on an elevator, like in this empty mall. And they're like, help, we're stuck. Help, we're stuck. We're stuck on this escalator. Like, just walk up the escalator. It's not that hard, right? It was a very funny video, but it's like, most problems are simple to solve if you can take yourself far enough away from the day-to-day task at hand and get yourself out of that. And that's awesome.
And there's two other things that I think really people, I won't say miss, but we overlook. The first thing is focus. And that actually is my number one Clifton strength. Focus is it. But I still think I struggle with a lot, because I have a lot of different things I like to do. And there's a lot of things you can focus on as an entrepreneur. But if people could just solve one problem at a time, and not try to have 72 goals. You know, it's the beginning of the year. I've got 852 goals I'm going to accomplish this year. And I want my whole team to remember all 852. And it's like, why don't we choose three big goals? I like to do 12-week years. You know, let's choose three goals this quarter. And really, let's work on that number one goal. Let's kick that one's butt, and then go to number two and number three. And exponential growth happens that way, because everybody's pushing in the same direction. So it's that focus, and then it's action quickly. So it's speed wins in business always.
Correct.
And it's really the ultimate leverage, because while you're thinking and talking and ruminating about all these things, somebody else is just doing it. And that's the key to winning in business, especially as a small business. Like, if you don't have a $1 billion check you can write, which I certainly don't yet, hopefully one day I will. My biggest advantage is going out there and just moving as quick as I can, and learning and failing and keeping and getting better.
Right. That's Savannah Bananas, right? The customer experience. I mean, what he did with that and changing and creating, it's like, it's pretty spectacular to go from living in the stadium broke to now the empire that he's created all over.
That's right. Simple, I love that
simple
guy.
Actionable,
awesome. Yeah.
Simple, actionable activities and the empowerment of people. Earlier, you talked about the Gen Zs coming into your team and some of the things that you are trying to work on to support them.
Yep.
What are some of the key things that you are using to create success? Because we talked about a little bit about the failure, and I think some of that comes from that social media. I think a lot of it comes because their lives have been scheduled since they were 5 years old.
Yep.
You know, so they don't have some of that brain power that looking outside the
participation
line.
Trophies. They've gotten a lot of those.
So did you. It's okay.
I never got a participation trophy.
That's because you were in the lumber industry, but that's okay. They didn't do that in the lumber. You had parents that didn't allow you to have to be on the soccer team to go with to get the participation trophies, probably.
I played sports when I was in middle school, and I did not get participation trophies. I either lost big or I won, but my team always sucked. So I got a lot of like 17-1 softball games.
Okay. All right, fair enough. So, but how are you? What are some of the things you're doing to put in place to attract that Gen Z into your organization?
Because
that's usually the first step for an organization. And then two, keeping them engaged and wanting to learn and keeping that curiosity and that resiliency going on, because there is a decent amount of those Gen Zs that do want to, that's too hard, I'm going to go on to the next thing.
So to answer question A, what am I doing to get them in? Well, that's where brand comes in. And this is where I think the construction industry is missing out big time on this, because I have a lot of people that are wanting to come work on my team. And this is across generations. I have people that, like, as soon as I'm ready, they'll come type thing. Like, just
congratulations.
Get it together.
That's
great.
Get
it together so you can actually hire these people. So I'm trying to figure that part out. But, you know, it's because you're building something that people want to be a part of that is it's like a contagious energy. And you attract the people that want to be a part of that. So I think it's about building a brand that people want to get on the train and go for the ride with you, knowing that it's not going to be perfect. It's a startup. It's going to be hard. But they're willing to do that because they know, number one, they're going to learn a lot. And it's going to be a really cool journey.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of it. And then, you know, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm talking about all the things. You know, I do a lot of speaking at events. I'm out there. In the world,
are you going to be at IBS?
I'm not speaking at a like a education, but I'm actually going to be speaking at the Plaspro booth on AI Tuesday and Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at the Plaspro booth. So
Nice.
That'll be cool. Come see me there, and I'll be out and about. You know, you can see me wear my pink hat. You'll find me. But I'll be wearing a pink hat. Who knows what color? It'll be hot pink one day, medium pink the next day, maybe even throw some light pink in there to mix it up a little bit.
Yep.
So I will be doing that. But yeah, so going around events like that and talking to people, it helps for sure. A lot of my team members have come from that type of thing or LinkedIn. And then the other thing to answer your second question is, I ask a lot of questions and manage expectations up front about what it's going to be like. You know, hey, this is going to change.
Perfect.
Maybe every single day. This is startup. If you need a routine that is like 100% for sure, this is what you're going to be doing every day from 8 to 5, not the fit. It's not a fit for you. If you are going to want to work from, you know, 8 to 5 and never have to work extra or never have to work weird hours sometimes to go to events or something like that, not for you. If you don't want to be the absolute best and continue to learn and get better, not for you. And that's okay. Like, there are roles that I've been in before where it's like, it just wasn't the right fit. I got fired from a job 5 months in and right before I started this business, it just wasn't the culture for me. And I really hated the job. And the day they fired me, I had already started my LLC. So it was just like, okay, I get it. Universe, God, whatever you believe in. Like, I hear you. I'm going to go do this. Like, I get it. Thank you. Should have just listened. You know,
but so much time. Come on.
Yeah. Like, I only told you 875 times that you got time to go do your own thing. You know,
you should have listened to me 5 months ahead of that.
I know. But you know what? I learned so much in that 5 months that I think it's also knowing that every single step in your life, your career, your journey, whatever it is, you will use that for something later. So all the things I learned in that 5 months, like it was in the Florida market, it was a lot of really big builders like D.R. Horton, Pulte, people like that. I'd never really been exposed to that. Florida is a whole different universe with the way they actually construct things, block construction, all this hurricane stuff. Mm-hmm. I learned so much about that now I got what I needed for 5 months and I was good. So I can use that in the rest of my life in my in my job now, in my career. So it's really cool how life works. So I would say to any person in any generation, don't look at something as a linear journey and don't look at it as like, how am I going to use this or why is this happening to me? Because you may not know right now, but eventually somewhere that plug will plug into the puzzle piece. And then you'll be like, oh man, like how cool is that? That thing I did 10 years ago that I thought was a pain in the butt is now what I'm making money on today in my real job. God definitely has a sense of humor. I can just tell you that.
Right.
Don't disagree.
That's funny.
One of the questions that I'm curious as we're talking here is with more, let's say you definitely have this charismatic approach to you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And from
that's
attracting
the woo.
Woo!
That is the woo. I mean, yeah, we'll get into that. All right. That is the woo. How do you help those that, you know, they kind of, and I'm going to pick on the Gen X and the boomers, right?
Sure.
That they know they need your help, but they're kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah.
How do you help people recognize and realize, hey, yes, we as millennials, as Gen Zs, we can do the shit because we know the shit.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I think it's not trying to belittle anyone in any generation for what they don't know and trying to show them in a way that they understand and can appreciate so that it builds trust. Mm-hmm. And that takes time. And I think one of the things that millennials are known for, but especially me, because I have this thing called activator, which means I'm wildly impatient. So I'm like, you heard this three times. What are you waiting on?
What don't you fucking like, understand?
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't get it, you know. But at the end of the day, again, to reel it back is like some of these people have giant businesses. And so if you tell someone that has $150 million a year business, well, I can increase your business by doing all of this stuff. They're like, well, number one, what's that going to cost? So they're, you know, they're always looking at that, hopefully.
Yeah.
And then also it's like, but then what do I get? Because how much more work is that going to be for that person? Sometimes it's almost none, right? But like I have an operations background as well. So if I tell you like, I can help you sell 2,000 more doors a day. And they're like, ooh, that sounds cool. Like that could be $40 more million of revenue every year, you know, at the same margins. That's amazing. But then the part I didn't tell you is, oh, and we're going to have to buy a new building and 13 new trucks and 4 new forklifts and also hire 100 new people and buy $5 million of the machinery. And it's going to also take 5 years to get there.
Yep.
Then it's a whole different story, right? And that's the true story.
Oh,
and there's always what a marketing person or what any person that's selling something wants to show you the pretty side, the vacation, the on the beach, smelling the sand, drinking the Mai Tai. But really what it is a 15-hour flight in the back seat of plane by the bathroom where you're sitting with a guy with his shoes off. And so that's real life, right? And so it's a balance of showing them like, I understand what real life is. And I also understand, like, if you don't want to do this because you're cool at 100 million, good. Like, congratulations, you are amazing. Or 5 million, or you don't have to be at 100 million. I keep using these big numbers, but it is amazing to build a $500,000 remodeling business and you're making 30-40% margin and you're feeding your family. You have a great life. Like, if that's what you want, amazing. Keep doing that.
Right.
And
right.
if you want to grow 10% a year or whatever to keep up with inflation, then that's great. But if you're hungry and you are like unquenchable, which is what I like to talk about with myself, like I am unquenchable and I was born that way and I don't know why, but I'm never going to turn that off. Yeah, exactly. He's in the business with me. He has to live with this every day and be married to it. But if you're unquenchable and you want to go hit 150 million and you want to climb that next mountain, then let's go do it. I've got my climbing poles ready and I will take you up the mountain.
That's spectacular. So Stephanie, how do people and where do people find this unquenchable desire to sell more things, make more things, make more money, and let's go get shit done? Where do they find you?
Gritblueprint.com is where they find me. And I think that's why I use the word grit, because it's for people that have grit and want to go just do gritty stuff. And so that's my company name. It's behind me here, Grit Blueprint. And it's that Spartan spirit of like, I'm going to go with whatever I need to do to make this happen. And so I want to work with people like that. That's the people I love working with. And I really love the independent spirit of some of these small business owners. It's not mm-hmm. just businesses that are huge, but it's people that want to do amazing things and break barriers that they didn't know they could ever break. And that's what I'm trying to do in my life every day.
That is spectacular. Your energy is infectious and contagious, and we are blessed to have you here as a guest today.
Thank you.
Safe travels. Enjoy the snow with the puppy later on today.
Yes, and, I'm excited.
And we appreciate you being here, Stephanie. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having
thank
me.
You.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.